It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
What in the hell are you laughing at?
You know what I like about this show? After the show begins is when you and I start looking for stuff. Like, hey, I need a pen. Where's the pen?
Shouldn't there be a pen around here? Where's the microphone thing?
Yeah, you like to get up, move around, and look around for stuff, but it's only after the show begins.
Well, why waste time before?
Yeah, might as well punch in before we do any work. That Drew Board survived?
Yeah.
I did all that?
Yeah.
All right. Issei Morales is our guest tonight. He's from NYPD Blue. Tuesday nights, ABC, 10 o'clock. Just joined the cast this year, and that's a pretty good show to join.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We have not seen you since the TV show, which is probably... Was it two seasons ago?
About two seasons ago.
You know, the thing about what I normally call Mexican guys, but I'll call them Latino guys. Now,
I'm not Mexican, but I play one.
They don't change, or whatever you are. What are you?
I am American, first and foremost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I like. Good.
You know, I mean, come on, you know. If I get, you know.
What's your heritage,
war, we
though?
Have to fight on
that's what I like. That's what I like.
That's right. My heritage is Puerto Rican. Spanish, French in there, and but I'm an honorary Chicano. So,
but good, you got a good aging thing going for you because I mean, you look about the same as you did in La Bamba 20 years ago or 17 years ago or
yeah, well, actually 87, so 13 years ago or 14.
That was
almost
it?
14, Jesus.
Jesus. Meanwhile, Lou Diamond looks like a raisin. He's a
stop,
mess.
Leave him alone.
He's a mess at this point. Lou. NYPD Blue, Tuesday nights. I got
tomorrow
all that
night's
stuff.
My first real episode. I mean, I was introduced last week. You know, they kept me till the end. Now, tomorrow night, I really run things.
So. And how does that work? Do they contact you? Do you go in and audition just like anybody?
I audition like anybody else. And
see, Adam, people need to audition.
They need to audition.
Big stars audition.
But are you auditioning against other guys who you recognize?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
You're not just in with a bunch of actors. I mean, it's not like
oh, God forbid. No. Actors. No. I walked in there and I saw people who I could name who have names, but I don't want to name them because then it's like...
You know, then you beat them out.
Yeah, but they're very good actors. And,
but what I mean is
a lot of Italian guys, a lot of Chicano guys.
I don't know enough to even know how this works, but it seems to me like there's two kinds of auditions. There's open call auditions, and then there's...
Which I don't remember.
Right, you know. Good. And then they're the audition, like you have to read for a role, but it's between you and a few other guys we've heard of.
Right.
And somehow they got hold of you.
Right.
It's not like you saw an ad in the drama log.
Oh, no.
Adam, what are you trying to do? Build a case here for why you shouldn't have to do auditions?
Yeah, that wasn't really an audition. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I don't want it. I don't like having to do auditions. I know I could play the part in my sleep if I have to, but I guess they don't know that. They also want to see how prepared, how bad you want it.
Ooh.
If you're humble enough to go in there and read, I guess, you know, you'll take whatever poop they give you.
Well, I just give them oral and save the reading. Save
exactly.
My dignity.
Use your head. That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll
that's Adam's motto.
Take some calls. Sam?
And his new book, too, coincidentally.
What's that? No, shut up. Sam, you're 17.
Yeah. I got a problem, I guess.
Yeah.
My parents, like, they keep on talking about sex around me. It's kind of disturbing.
What do you mean? Give me an example of what they did.
Like, I was like, in the kitchen, and, like, they were watching that stupid show on Showtime. Queer as Folk, and like they're in one of those
Queer as Folk,
yeah,
right?
They're in like one of those adult shops, right?
Yeah.
And like there's this mirror on my wall, and like I saw the I saw on the reflection, like after my mom made this comment, like I want to go in one of those stores, and like the guy was holding like a sex toy, right?
Yeah. Like, hey, Drew, let's not start with young guys on the...
No,
anymore. Would you play?
It's okay.
Go ahead, Sam. You're doing good, bud.
Talk to us.
It's kind of nervous.
I understand. So, you sex toy, like a vibrator or something?
Or
yeah.
Or a dilly?
Yeah.
Right. So, what? It bothered you that she said that in front of you. Is that right?
Yeah, like, well, like when we were younger, me and my brother, like, we were looking for Christmas presents. And,
I did that,
we
too.
We kind of stumbled across something.
Yeah, listen, parents.
What did you fumble into?
I swear to God, I don't know. My mom may listen to the show, but I think I found a
live grenade.
I wish it was a grenade. I think I found a vibrator in there when I was young.
How
old
were you?
To Christ. About 9
What'd
or
you do
10
with it?
Or something.
You stole the batteries. What do you think you did?
Still up my ass. What do you think? What do you mean what I did? I threw it back.
Threw it back?
Listen, all I'm saying, this is a very good point, which is parents, kids search desperately for Christmas toys somewhere in the couple of weeks before Christmas when you guys leave the house. I mean, we all did it. Did you ever do that, Drew? Are you kidding me? You were so whipped by your parents that you didn't even look for Christmas
He's
presents?
He's a good kid. Look at him. He became a doctor.
We had Hanukkah, remember?
Oh, that sucks. That's why you're angry. You say, did you do that?
At times I peek, but, you know, I want to get to this young man's
What the hell is going on? You didn't look for presents? No?
No,
no. Christmas to me was weird. Okay, the point is somebody... What are the chances I get in two guys?
I still found things.
Okay, you're going to find stuff in there.
It's their life, you know. You have to realize, how did you get here?
Sam?
Yeah.
You said you have a younger brother?
Yeah, younger brother.
Is he? Do they talk about explicit things in front of you?
Well, like my mom, she'd be like at the dinner table, and she's like, you guys, anyone want anything else? And my dad's like, you know, maybe later.
Yeah, okay. They make a lot of weird sex jokes.
Yeah, but it's...
all right.
I think it's their right.
You know what, though? But it bothers Sam, and it's a little disrespectful. And I don't think they would do it if they knew how you felt. And how about just sort of putting them on notice? Like, you can do it in a lighthearted way. Just go, I don't want to hear about this. You know, just put your finger in your ears and start saying the alphabet or something.
But I always wonder, why is it kids have a real, like, distaste, like a disgusting, like, ugh, gross, at the thought of their parents being sexual with each other? I mean...
I don't know. But it's healthy. I agree.
No, he means it's healthy to be disgusted.
No, I think it's healthy that we're disgusted at it. Well, if you see my parents, you'd be disgusted too. But there's some good-looking parents out there.
But there is something about being... You're not a parent, right?
No, but I thought about parenting since I was 13 years old.
There's something about being a parent that makes you not want your kids to have sex. And there's something about being a kid that makes you not want your parents to have sex.
Yeah, but I think it's a mutual hypocrisy. I think it's our society's hang-up on sex.
No.
But maybe
in South America, there are cultures where they all have one hut and everybody does everything in the hut, and kids don't look at sex the same way.
But let me ask you this:
lurid.
Maybe it's in place, and I agree. Maybe maybe it's in place so we stay away from sexuality with our kids, so there's no molestation or anything like that.
Yeah, but I think that it's the unhealthy attitudes towards sex in general that makes those things kind of, you know,
fester.
Yeah, and exciting to people.
I'm with you, but I'm wondering if it's almost a innate thing. It's almost like a biological event that when you hear about your parents having sex or something, when you're 14, it's like, ooh, and they don't want to hear about you having sex. Maybe it's positive.
But let's
somehow.
Think about the
that noise in the
vomiting.
Background.
Let's think about the natural selection, the biological imperatives. It would be a genetic advantage for there to be repulsion against interbreeding genetically. I mean,
I agree with that.
And so that's where some of those taboos come from, is to protect us against genetic mixing.
Opposite.
Inbreeding, yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that, like in Sweden, per se, you know, I got a card from Sweden, some family, they were all naked. The entire family, from you know, adults to 14 to 12, and there isn't that kind of
stigma.
This is dirty. This is wrong. This is nasty. This is hidden. So I just think that the advice I would give for this young man is split the difference. I agree with Dr. Drew that you should maybe tell your parents, you know, it makes me uncomfortable. I mean, you know, you're the ones telling me this is nothing I should do too soon in life, so why are you guys being so open? But at the same time, I would urge the young man to realize, haven't you ever gone out with a girl and she thinks, you know, boys are disgusting? You know, it's something you grow out of at a certain point. And the concept of disgust with your parents, at some point, I wish my parents were still talking. You know, we're still into each other.
Yeah.
And in a sense,
not
I think...
Not me, but yeah.
No, but the point is, you know, let's get over it a little bit. Try not to let it bother you so much.
I agree. He's 17.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
He can work it out. Christy?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
About 5.5 months ago, I started a relationship with my boyfriend, and about
3 weeks after we started having sex, I went to the doctors for a normal exam, and I had a yeast infection. So I took the medicine, whatever they gave me, and...
What did they give you?
I think it was the...
Lotrimin?
No, it was the Terazol.
Terazol, all right. So yeah. The 3-day...
Yeah, well, it was a pill and then a 7-day.
So they gave you Diflucan.
They gave me Diflucan as well, and they gave me the cream to put in at night.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. About a week later, I found out I was pregnant.
Oh.
I had an abortion.
Because of the pill? The medicine exposure? Because you wanted to have an abortion?
I wasn't ready. And I just started this relationship, and I don't want kids for another 10 years.
No birth control?
I was on birth control, but I was a week late. So, I mean, I was switching my... I haven't had any relationships for the past, 6 months, and so I skipped a week to change my period ahead.
Oof.
On a trip, and then it happened all suddenly, and...
In the future, just take your pill straight across, and don't take the sugar pill week.
Yeah, I learned that now.
And one other thing, even if you're taking the pill, I would practice multiple, especially being so fertile, which you sound like. Maybe even abstain from having him finish inside, I mean...
Well,
tell it, you say.
Just pull out, partner. You know.
Plus, if you're filming, it's. I mean, as an actor, it's a much better crescendo.
Okay.
Otherwise, we got to kind of take the guy's word for it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's lots of creative ways to make him feel. Fulfilled, without exposing yourself too much to that.
What's your question?
My question is that after that happened, 2 weeks, we waited, and then we had sex again, and I got a bacterial infection. They gave me a different kind of cream, and then I took that for a week, and then again we had sex, and I got another yeast infection, and it's happened 4 different times with each different infection over the past 5.5 months.
Yeah. You got to go lesbian at a certain point.
That's kind of common. That actually happened to me at a certain point. So it's
you
a
got a yeast infection.
Yeah. I was
really?
Itching and
vagina was
my
there.
Vagina was... You know,
oh,
I'm a
hermaphrodite.
Do you know I'm a hermaphrodite?
You can get, I think I got some yeasty on the peccaroo as I've... said on this show before, right?
Yeah, you did.
It can happen.
It can happen.
Yeah, but a little yeasty on the peccaroo.
That's actually really unusual.
Yeah, you got to have the very special penis.
Yeah, you got a pristine penis, yes.
Also, one thing is, if you practice oral sex before intercourse, sometimes the yeast on the tongue gets...
Huh? Oh, that's interesting. That's
really?
A good point.
Yeah, no,
I never
does.
Thought about that.
Yeah, the yeast on the tongue...
Yeah.
Can get into the urethra and then get down.
And not only the urethra, it stays on the outside. Mm-hmm. And then when you go in for
there
the kill, that's another big
interesting.
Thing. So I would suggest both of you brushing your teeth before you...
Ooh, I need a note from you, by the way. This oral sex angle is a strong one.
It's a good one.
But Christy, what are they...
Hey, baby, I love you, but...
What are your doctors telling you should be doing here?
Well, the other problem, which I'm kind of worried about, is that I have HPV.
Yeah.
And I got that 5 years ago, and it's... come back, I've had abnormal pap smears.
A certain percentage of them goes away.
I know, but I've actually had to, have it taken care of 3 different times. And so I'm wondering, and I haven't, since I've been having these reoccurring infections, I'm wondering, usually they check me every 3 months. So I'm wondering possibly if that might be something or...
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Question, what is your diet like?
I'm actually really good diet. I've been exercising regularly.
Mm-hmm. Do you eat a lot of starches or sugars?
No, not really.
Wow. But you're not... Yeast isn't the problem here. You're getting bacterial infections in the vagina.
I'm getting them back and forth. And what's weird was about a couple weeks ago, I had a bacterial infection. He gave my boyfriend some pills to take, and I took the medicine, the cream, morning and night.
Well, let me ask you this. Is he documenting this? Are they seeing the culture of these bacteria, or is he just surmising that's what's going on based on your symptoms?
Well, I keep asking him, which I'm going to a different doctor in 2 weeks.
And you keep asking him what?
Well, I keep asking, did you see bacteria? Did you see yeast? What kind? Mm-hmm. He said, no, I didn't see any.
Is it a gynecologist?
Yes.
And what is your complaint?
I want to have a normal sex life with my boyfriend.
Yeah, but what is it you're experiencing that leads them even to look for infection?
All right.
You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, what are the symptoms?
I mean, she's nuts?
She may be pushing too hard, and he may be sort of
irritated.
Trying to control symptoms rather than really documenting what's going on. Well, what are the symptoms you're getting?
It's gotten so that, about 2 or 3 days after we have sex, I just start feeling kind of uncomfortable, and then, I'm checking myself, and it looks... like, you know, a thick cream cottage cheese, you know,
right.
And it's really uncomfortable and itches. And so whenever it feels uncomfortable, I'm just going straight back to him and saying, what do I have now?
All right, hold on. I cannot devote the first hour to her vagina.
All right.
I can't. She's got to go to the gynecologist. You got to sum it up, Drew.
All right, just, you know, these things can be treated. Sometimes it's actually coming from the anus, and they may be getting some bacteria up there that way. Sometimes it can be bacteria around
I'm this close not to jerking off when I get home tonight.
Around his pelvic area, making sure he's properly cleansed and whatnot can be important. I brought the issue with the mouth. That's important, too. But I am concerned that she seems terribly anxious about something that is really quite minor.
Could
maybe
they do it in a tub of Clorox just to play it safe?
Sure they could. But, again, I maybe she had to sort of sit back a little bit when, you know, not run to the doctor every time she has a discharge or a slight irritation. Take some warm baths and see if these things don't take care of themselves.
Question: am I on?
Yeah.
Do you guys hit it?
No,
right
she's not though.
Oh, she's not. Okay, I was going to ask you because sometimes if you go at it too quick without properly,
it can irritate.
It irritates, and then that makes the body react. I would think.
Mm-hmm. He says like the Karma Sutra over here.
It's good.
I like about
it's good.
I have a PhD. I seek.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm sorry, I had it.
It
just came out.
Open form.
Deirdre.
Yeah? 19.
You're 19, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm 130 pounds, and my breast size is 34 double D, and...
Game on.
What's your problem?
Again, by the way.
My problem is I don't like the way they look.
The way they look, the way people look at you?
Both.
Mm.
How do they look? How tall are you?
5'7", 5'8", I'm not quite sure.
That doesn't sound terrible.
It sounds 130?
Yeah.
That'd be normal, right? You're fat.
No. True. Please.
True. Abnormally large on me, to me anyway.
The breast. Yeah, you're small and you have big breasts, right? Yeah.
People pay lots of money to be in your predicament.
I don't know. They're too heavy, too. And
hurt your neck.
I find bra sizes sometimes. Mm-hmm.
I know. Listen, I got the same problem. I'm kind of narrow at the hip and I have huge, huge arms. And it's tough. It's difficult.
I would lighten up on the food because the breast is a lot of fat, you know, and if you watch your intake, maybe, because I know a lot of young ladies who, when they lose weight, their breast sizes diminish as well.
Well, but at 130 pounds, we wouldn't really call you overweight, right?
No, not at all.
All right, and how's the shape? Is the shape not good or something?
Well, no, they're fine. I mean, they're not droopy or anything, but...
Slow down.
Where do you hang out?
You got a younger sister?
Yeah, no, she's 19.
I'm for you, Teresa.
See, this is what drives her crazy, though, is that since she's 14, guys...
Not 14.
But since she was 14, women think she's a slut, and guys think they look at her as a sex object, right? Isn't that what's been happening?
Me?
Don't women treat you as badly in a certain way, and men treat you in a certain way?
Kind of. I mean, like... A lot of girls are jealous of me.
Yeah, and they make up stories about you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah, it's awful the way you treat women that have the big breasts.
I had a boob enhancer surgery.
And
I didn't.
Okay, all right, hold on. What's up tonight with the calls? I think I have a little energy here. Full moon? Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Deirdre?
Uh-huh.
All right, so does your back hurt?
Sometimes.
Okay, but you're 19 years old, so I think that you should live with it for a little bit longer.
Okay. Yeah, you may see this as an asset someday. It's just awfully difficult to have people treating you as an object.
No,
maybe
it's
thinking
not.
Things
listen,
about you.
It's listen, 19. What is the difference between a very attractive girl and a girl with large breasts?
I think a very attractive...
What is the difference?
I think a very attractive woman have similar kinds of problems.
Of course. Yeah. Good. So what are you going to do if your girl's good-looking? Dump acid on her so she can have a happy life?
No, that's a great point. No, you're making the same point, which is that it's awful the way we single people out that are exceptional, and she just needs to hang
listen,
in there.
I do want to say this. We haven't talked about it in a while. When you're a 19-year-old woman, you're judged on your looks. Pretty much across the board by 19, 20-year-old guys, the guys you're going to college with, the guys
when
you went to high school with, when you're anybody, but especially a 19-year-old girl. Now, there's women who are tall and lean and blonde and beautiful, and they get put up on a pedestal, and no one makes a big deal about it. And then, but they get a ton of attention from men, and they're never sure who their friends are because every guy's trying to get in their pants, and doors are opening for them. And then there's girls with a large chest who it's the same thing. Guys are talking to them because they want to get in their bra. Guys are trying to look down their shirt. They look at them physically in a sexual way, and we make those women into martyrs. It's like, oh, you poor dear. Oh, you don't know who your friends are. Listen, hot-looking models don't know who their friends are either. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
This gives you a leg up on the competition is basically the way I look at it, and I wouldn't look at it as such a horrible liability. Look at it as an asset, and if your back's hurting and your spine is bending, then that's another story. But if it's all emotional, hey, that's just one step up.
Not only that, but you should do exercises to strengthen your back, number one. Number two, I think your body will catch up maybe with you. You know, you're still growing.
I agree. Easy on the diet. Do some exercises for your back and send those pictures in. There's nothing wrong with that.
God bless you.
Listen, you know, I like a big rack, and I'm tired of having to defend myself to a lot of men, by the way.
Yeah.
Listen, ladies, there's most guys, a lot of guys, don't like the big racks.
Don't like it?
Don't like it. They look at it, they talk about it, but when push comes to shove, they'd rather have something a little more moderate.
More than a mouthful is too much.
Right,
sometimes.
Most guys. I work at the man show, every one of those pussies in that office likes a moderate rack.
But is that just so they can give you grief? I mean, they
partially
they mind it, or they just prefer?
If you showed a woman who was what you would call busty, they would rather have a woman who was what you call more in proportion more moderate.
Yeah, I think most men would go for symmetry and sort of proportionality over just about everything else.
Yeah, but there are some guys, I mean, the advent of false boobs out there, the huge ones. I mean, They belie a market out there.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
There are some guys that are boob men, and they just want biggins. You know?
Yeah. Wait a minute, that'd be a good magazine name.
Yeah.
Biggins.
You know what I mean?
And to me, that makes me more man. Not less man, more. Because you know the difference between a teenage boy and a flat-chested woman? Not a whole lot. Not a lot. But the boobs, there's a difference. All right? So who's more man?
She's blessed, and I think she should learn little by little to be comfortable with herself. If other people lose their dignity, it should make her a stronger person.
That's right. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Issei Morales is our guest.
Issei.
What'd I say? Issei?
Issei.
Oh, Issei. I'm sorry. Morales is...
more or less.
I've always... I've always called you Issei.
Hey.
All right. Issei Morales is here from NYPD Blue, 10 o'clock, 9:17. We'll take ourselves a little break, and when we come back, we'll get with Natalie. Natalie's 17 experiences pleasure when she urinates after this.
Who is this?
Hello, who is this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, Loveline, I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Issei Morales is our guest tonight. NYPD Blue. Tomorrow night, everybody.
10 o'clock. ABC.
There you go.
Hey.
And
Adam, I like the way you hold your mic. I'm doing it too. It's a very kind of butch, you know, way of doing it to use my.
It sort of implies.
It's called lazy. That's what we do. We'll lean back and you'll enjoy it.
Also, it sort of implies someone may take it away from me as
that's
if
right.
I'm in prison with my mic.
Kind of like the homeboys, how they grab their. You know?
Right. Ooh, watch the S word.
Ship?
Ship, yes. I don't know. I heard you say jerk off, so I'm assuming anything goes on this station.
It does. It seems like it, but there's still a few. The ones George Carlin mentioned, actually.
Oh, the seven.
That's right. Dirty words. Natalie?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, when I pee, it sort of feels tingly when I first start, and then when I finish, it's kind of overwhelming, and I feel a lot of pleasure.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you recently been sexually active, or have you been?
No, I've been having sex for a good 2 years with my boyfriend when we lost our virginity together.
So there's two ways this can happen. One is you can get infection, and some women get this way when they have a urine infection.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is if you've sort of been overly active and sort of irritated that part of your pelvis.
Yeah, I've been sort of overly active.
Yeah.
For last week.
There you go.
Are you guys considered water sports?
Do you have is it an orgasm that you have, or it just feels good?
It just feels, I don't know, it's really kind of overwhelming because I've never had an orgasm, and I'm not quite sure, but it's kind of, it's really overwhelming, and I'm
We got to talk to your guy.
And I've been drinking a lot of water.
Having sex for 2 years, never had an orgasm, huh?
No.
They're both young. They're both
17.
Does he do any oral sex?
Believe me, he has one.
I used to not really feel any comfortable, but I've kind of been letting him do it a little bit. Not really.
I think there's the angle to work on as far as the orgasm goes.
I get more pleasure out of him fingering me. So
I see.
Pointing you out?
Good to know. I'll put that down in the book. All right. Well, you guys work it out.
But you might.
You using protection?
Yeah.
She carries a 22.
What are you using?
Sort of. Well, he pulls out.
That is not Natalie. Please. Who are you kidding?
But they seem pretty committed to each other.
Yeah, we get that morning.
Well, I mean, we've lost our virginity to each other. So.
Yeah, but pulling out is not. You'll still get pregnant pulling out. You understand that?
It depends on what time of the month.
Right, but she doesn't know.
And you don't know how fertile you are. You could be fertile early or late, yeah.
Well, I'm not. I just have
Natalie, before men ejaculate, they emit sperm.
Okay,
so the sperm coming out the whole time you guys are active. Do you understand that?
It's not as concentrated.
Well, I mean, we
not
use condoms.
Well, some people actually
birth control,
using condoms, and you're on birth control. Why did you tell us that in the first place?
Well, I said it.
So, we're like,
because you said protection, you didn't say contraception.
Well, like, sometimes we forget to use the condom when we don't have it.
Yeah, but you're on the birth control pill. That's nearly 100%.
Yeah, my parents really don't know, so I just use some ortho-tricycline, and I'm on that, and so.
But it's a good thing to combine both, just in case.
She's talking in sort of riddles. My parents don't know, so I use birth control.
Are you on the pill or not?
Yeah, I'm on the pill.
Okay. Right. And what's the part with your parents not knowing?
Oh, I don't want them to know.
Why does that?
So
what do you?
I have acne really bad, so.
So you tell your parents you're taking the pill for the acne.
Accutane.
People take the birth control pill for acne.
Yeah.
Are you on Accutane?
No.
I know, but when they give you Accutane, they will put you on the pill, will they not?
They will.
Thank you, wise ass one.
Are you on Accutane?
They're going to put me on it, but I've been on... They said, okay, you can try ortho-tricycline for a while, and it's been working, and so...
Okay.
Yeah. To help me clear it up.
Good times, baby.
Did you know it was against the law? Well, never mind.
All right. All right. Well, she's not pregnant. She's not having an orgasm.
And
she needs to get a urine checked if it starts getting more painful, if you get fevers or anything like that. Blood in the urine.
Clem?
Yeah, hey there, fellas. First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking my call. I sure do appreciate it.
No problem there. Clem, you're 29.
Yes, sir. Look, I've been taking Remeron for about 5 weeks now, and for depression. And I've been having these... I don't even know how to describe it. It's like it makes you real sleepy, and so I take a lot of naps. And so, like yesterday afternoon, for example, I was taking a nap, and I sort of half woke up, but I couldn't move at all.
Yeah,
like I was like trying real hard to move my head or my mouth or something, or my arms. I just couldn't do it, and it took me like 3 or 4 times before I could actually get up. And,
that could be a side effect of the Remeron. You should tell whoever's prescribing that for you. You should talk to them about that.
Yeah, so that's one of the things I was wondering about, because I know that there's a Prozac and all that. I know that those work. I tried those before, but my doctor said he wanted to try me on this.
Well, talk to him about this side effect. This may not be something you want to go through.
Well, should he see if it happens again?
I'm sorry, what's that?
It may happen again. Yeah. It happens a certain amount of people nap.
Oh, yeah.
In general.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's true, but it has never happened to me before.
Yeah, it's got to be a little freaky.
Yeah, that's the truth. Tell you what now.
But it's got to feel. Who doggy?
Tell you what now.
Yeah, who's this, the Colonel?
Cut that out now.
Did you manage Elvis for a while? How big's that belt buckle of yours? but in a way, didn't it feel kind of neat? Like I'm so far out of it, I can't move?
No, that's kind of freaky. That's your wacky psychedelic.
I like that. Thank you.
Let me put it this way,
it's a terror.
It's
a terror.
It's terrorizing.
It's a night terror of sort.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, yeah.
But now thinking back on it, do you think you woke up or do you think you dreamt you woke up and tried to move?
Because
happened to me before.
No, that's a good point. Actually, I remembered hearing the radio. And
it's a state of sleep, but it's also you're awake, but there's a disconnect there.
But what is awake? You know what I mean? I mean, how do you define awake? It's like eyes being open awake?
It's like B, or I've had that, and I've never taken Remeron.
Yeah, some people get it normally.
Yeah, I've had it, and I don't know how, but it's terrifying because you feel like aliens have landed and they've, you know, zapped you, and they can do anything they want to
helpless.
But you can't do. And you try to scream, you reach out, and you nothing.
Sometimes a good fart will get you kickstarted. That's why I always keep one in the chamber when I nap. In case there's trouble.
It's a close relative of being like in a dream where you're trying to scream for help and no one can hear you.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing.
Dr. Drew, I had one other question about this. I would like to, you know, switch my meds, but I know that there's a discontinuation effect with this Remeron, because I missed it for like a couple days way back, and boy, I tell you what, it was horrible. I personally
I don't prescribe Remeron because it's hard to use for the very reasons that you're describing here.
Hold on, Clint.
And it's hard to dose.
Did you just say boy howdy?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Boy and how?
Oh, boy and how? Okay. Yeah.
Where is he? Married?
What do you do for a living, Clem?
Never mind.
Yeah, because
tell us.
I see you sort of a McLeod type, like over there.
Well,
in Maryland.
Okay. Actually, I'm gonna burst your image. I mean, I happen to be a graduate student in English.
There you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. But you do Western carvings now for a living, or what?
No, he lives in Maryland.
What kind of English? What's your area of specialization?
Well, comparative literature.
And comparing what and what?
I'm sorry?
What comparing what and what? What
kind of dem to dis?
Yeah.
Dem and dos.
No, actually, I study Russian and Soviet literature.
Вы говорите по-русски?
Да, я говорю по-русски.
Хорошо, я говорю немножко. Очень хорошо.
What the hell is going on?
Да, да. He speaks Russian.
We got a Puerto Rican guy and a guy from the swamp, and they're talking in Russian. That's bizarre.
We are spies.
Only in America. All right, Clem. All right, good times over there.
До свидания.
До свидания.
Yes. I'm going to read some check-off when I get home.
Здоровья.
I'm going to read all about that sequel.
Hey, you're from Maryland. That's the first place I ever had a job, in Pikesville. And I remember the guy say, yeah, Merlin. It's like Merlin the magician. That's how you
say it. That's right, Merlin, yeah.
And you wash your face in the zinc.
Yeah, sometimes I say that. Yeah. I'm actually from Virginia, but
okay.
I'm a pair of Maryland.
All right, Glenn. Good times, buddy.
God bless.
I just thought of a strange sort of bias I have. Is it guys that talk like that shouldn't be depressed?
Yeah, they should just have some sort of adage where you go, yeah, pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, and you get your ass in gear, and you get to work, and you put in a good day.
Hey, yeah, my homie spoke Russian, dude.
Okay, I know.
How many people
speak Russian?
You don't need antidepressants. You're Clem.
He's Clem.
No,
Clemsky.
You're right. You're right that you picture guys with depression having either New York or they're from San Francisco, and they're like have that sort of artist thing going on,
or like that Richard Lewis guy,
they're stressed out,
right.
They're stressed, you know.
But you don't picture a guy with his dialect or that accent being depressed.
It's too bright. The whole dialect is very sunny, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, it's like one of the Duke boys meeting Zola. Would have made a good episode.
They're all
that
needed lithium, but go ahead.
Antonio?
Yeah, hey, first of all, I want to say Drew, Adam, you're hilarious. And Drew, I know you're bored with Dylan, the man of Mars and Venus, man. You got to be bored with that.
Yeah, but he's not bored with that money, I'll tell you that right now.
I'm
not bored. I'm trying to... I'm not. We're trying to turn into something.
You're bored with it.
You may be bored with it, and I apologize for that.
I realize you're married and all, but you should try to get some from that Sam chick, dude. She's hot, man.
Esau is Sam's friend.
I went to high school with Samantha.
No, you went to high school with her?
I went to high school with her.
In Brooklyn?
She was from Brooklyn, but in Performing Arts High School.
In New York.
The Fame School.
Yeah, that's what she's
the original one.
Wasn't she in Penthouse?
Yeah, I'm sure.
God, man.
She's amazing.
I got two comments. I want to comment on the show last night because I just listened to it on the East Coast because I'm in Maryland too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was telling the lady on the phone, like I'm a Christian, so, you know, I'm against abortion, but it kind of sucks though that we put that much pressure on women to like make them decide and all that, you know?
No, we don't even make them decide. That's the problem.
Yeah, that, you know, it's like
we decide for them, and that's
right,
you know,
that's not fair, dude.
Put it this way: I'm Christian, like based, although I can't take any one side. To me, you know, right. Religions are kind of like gangs nowadays. You know, you got to pick them and you got to be true to them and fight to the death on behalf of your God, which I don't think is right. But the whole thing with abortion is, you know. I think a lot of people should take care of the children that are born that are, you know, that are already living, you know?
It's like, you know.
How can you have kids that aren't wanted?
Right. It's like, why even put, like me, my mom had me on her 17th birthday, and if it wasn't for my grandmother still being in the picture, I don't know what my mom would have done, because like I said, I was born on my mom's 17th birthday.
Right.
So if it wasn't for my grandmother, my mom probably would have been left with those two options too.
Or your mom may not even, you know, God
exactly,
forbid, but she may not even be there.
My dad's not around. My dad's irresponsible, so I really, you know, don't see him. It took me getting committed last year to get my dad back in the picture, and he's not even fully back in the picture, you know what I mean?
Getting committed?
Well, like, my mom had me in a mental institution for a couple of days.
For what?
Like, well, I suffer from depression and all, and I was, like, talking about running away, and so, she just went, and I was in a place out here called Taylor Manor. I was in there from Saturday to Wednesday.
Oh, all right. And you got your dad came back into the picture because of that.
Well, you know, yeah, it actually took her.
Right. All right. So here's your job, Antonio.
Okay.
Don't be like your dad.
Oh, I'm
or
already.
Or your mom.
Don't get pregnant at 17. Yeah. I agree.
Don't commit your kids too soon.
Don't right. Be around for your child.
Right.
And,
I definitely decided not to be. My dad's been in and out of jail since he's like my age. And,
nice.
Now I've got three or four other younger siblings that are all like infants or whatever.
And
my second thing is, you know, I suffer from depression, and part of it's because like I've got like a lot of female friends and all, and there's girls that I care about, but I personally can't get a girlfriend, and I don't know if it's something wrong with me or not, you know?
No, you're 16. Relax.
Trust me.
Yeah,
wait till you have a steady job and prospects and things like that, you become more attractive to the opposite.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That is one of the cruel aspects of the female mystique.
Yeah, well, you know, they got a clock, they say, and so they have an agenda, and that agenda is to find the best mate they can, and you gotta, you know, have something to offer.
Rarely does their agenda jive with yours at 16.
No.
I mean, you know, if
apart.
At 16 you could date 11-year-olds, maybe you'd have something there. But,
yeah, but
other 16-year-olds, that's rough at 16.
Yeah. Another thing is I didn't have a girlfriend until I was like 19.
Yeah, it happens to the best and worst of us. So, I mean, look at it this way. Think about the guys you knew at 16 who were getting a lot of chicks. They were the upper whatever percent of the 16-year-olds. Only the cream of the 16-year-old male crop had chicks. When you get 25, everybody gets somebody. It's not just the top 3%.
And that top 3% usually is kind of like played out by, you know. Trust
by 25,
me, your best years are yet to come. Be comfortable with yourself, and women will be comfortable with you.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Isai Morales is here from NYPD Blue, and we'll be back.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Hey, this is Tyra Banks, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yes, you is. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew over there. Isai Morales is our guest tonight from NYPD Blue, ABC. Tomorrow night, Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock. First big episode for Isai, right?
Yeah, I'm the boss now.
Yeah.
I'm the lieutenant, the new Lou.
Nice.
They work for me.
Isn't it, you know, you put the piece and the badge on, do you start to feel like that guy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It just has an effect on you.
Well,
yeah, it does. I did a something for the man show where I played a cop a couple weeks back.
You start beating the crap out of people?
Just the blacks, yeah. NYPD. I got in the LAPD uniform and, you know, the shoes and the, you know, you strap on that holster and everything and the nightstick. And, and you just start walking up and down the boulevard and you see people sort of get out of your way a little.
Salute, you know.
Yeah.
Ohio.
And, I did a little goose step and I felt, you start feeling pretty good. I could see it. Any uniform is good for a guy.
Hey, you women know, women are very sexy in uniform as well.
Yeah, but women like a guy in a uniform, and men respect a guy in a uniform too. And I could whether it's a football uniform or a cop uniform, I can see that feeling pretty good. Chris?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, about 7 or 8 years ago, I had touched my sister's in a way I shouldn't have, and it was when I was about, I think I was like 9 or so, I had touched this little boy as well, and when I touched this little boy, he had, I did it at a church, and this youth pastor caught me and told my parents about it, and, my stepdad talked to me about it and everything, and I ended up touching my sisters as well. What my question is basically is, should I tell my parents about it or not? I do regret it. I regret it.
Let me ask a couple questions. Okay. Did something happen to you growing up?
I don't know if it did or not. I know it's possible you can forget. You may not know. Right.
Hang on. Relax. And do you have any impulses to be with little kids right now?
No, I don't.
Kids? How are your sisters doing? Are they able to have relationships? Are they developing normally?
How old are they?
Well, one of them is 10 right now. The other one is 8.
How old? And you did it when they were infants?
When I did it when one was 2 and the other one... Well, see, I know they were both around 2 when I ended up dinner. I did it with each one of them. It wasn't at the same time.
Mm-hmm. How many... Hello, Chris?
Yeah.
How many times did you do it?
I did it probably a couple times on each.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's an interesting question in the sense that obviously they probably don't have any memory of it, at least none that's on this sort of that they could summon up. But does it affect them in some internal way?
Or does it affect what's your relationship like with them now? Because maybe do they act different with you? I mean, the urge I feel of saying is, not your parents as much as them. If they have any recollection, you have to confront them and say that, you know, you did something wrong that you regret and that you misplaced affection. I don't know what to call it, but...
That's not a bad way of putting it. But you know, but on the other hand, you think, geez, if they're 10 and they don't remember anything and they're getting along fine, why freak them out?
Are they getting along okay?
Yeah.
Ooh, boy. Hello? Uh-oh. Hello?
Well, I was going to say, I think you ought to talk to a professional because it's serious enough material that you ought to be sorted through very
carefully. Hold on, Chris, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened? Don't know?
I don't know.
You leaned up against the phone.
Okay. How are you doing in your life?
I'm doing okay. I have a good, serious relationship with a girl right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's my age.
Does she know about this?
She knows about the boy, but she doesn't know about my sisters.
All right. I agree, and maybe you didn't hear Drew say that this is the kind of thing that you should maybe talk about. It's not the kind of thing you should stumble into or rush into.
Nor is it something you should listen. You know, you should determine after talking to somebody for 2 minutes on the radio. You should sit down with a professional and talk about your feelings about this and make a plan as what needs to be done.
And make sure you're not withholding or suppressing any feelings that might rear again later.
Yeah, maybe.
But on the other hand,
some legal issues,
you know, as much as we try to get at the truth and talk about all the issues here, we're not necessarily for him telling them se.
Do you know what I mean? The only thing it would serve is for him to be brought to justice, frankly. You understand? I mean, that's the only...
And what justice is this 10-year-old boy going to be brought to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think there's any criminal charges that would be leveled against him as a 10-year-old.
I don't know.
I doubt that, especially 10 years later.
Yeah.
And if... I don't know. Better they be 2 than 7, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and only time will tell.
Not suggesting that, but he's...
If you have a choice, I'm saying, I think it's better that it happened at some point where they probably don't have any cognitive memory of it.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to a therapist. I'm glad things are working out okay now.
For everybody, yeah.
For him,
I would just say, yeah, as they get older and you can be frank with them, just ask them if there's anything they ever want to talk to you about. If there's anything in their memories, just, I would go on a what I call a selective fishing trip.
Interesting.
Because if there is something, they may be repressing it. Because children, even at that age, remember things. But it depends on how extensive and how invasive.
Is this Gary? Jerry?
Hello?
Hey, you're 40. What's up?
I'm 40, yeah. It's a lovely age. I actually called because I'm a really huge fan of Esai Morales.
Thank you.
Yes, I have loved you forever.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
anything you've ever been in, I've watched it, and you recently were in Resurrection Boulevard, and you're going to be on NYPD Blue now?
That's right. I'm the new guy. Yeah, it's fun to have a steady gig, you know, that people can see on a weekly basis.
Yes, it'll be on every Tuesday now.
Yeah.
Great. Now, you're not going to make any more appearances on the Resurrection Boulevard at Showtime?
As a matter of fact, they just hired a friend of mine, a wonderful actor named Leon, to play the love interest for Bibi, the gal that I was, that was my ex-wife.
Elizabeth Pena, yeah.
So I'm sure my character is going to, you know, crawl out of the woodwork somewhere and have a problem with this, and I'm sure there's, you know, they're laying the groundwork for some drama, so as soon as I finish my last episode on NYPD, we're going to start talking about getting back on Resurrection.
Yeah, good boxing show.
Yeah.
Jerry?
Yeah.
We got to go to break.
I know you do, and I'm sure I don't have a sex problem.
That's all right.
Oh, no. Hey, listen, it's all good. At 40, you got him all ironed out, you know?
Okay, I just had to say hi to Esai. I love you.
Thank you, Jerry. Love you back.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Hey, thanks for the cue, Esai. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Esai Morales is our guest tonight. NYPD Blue, Tuesday nights, tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, ABC. And let's hop back to the phones. Let's speak to Jessica, who's 19. Jessica?
Hello.
What's up?
I was just wondering, I'm 2.5 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 3-year-old little girl. And I was just wondering, I can't tell if I'm, like, going through depression or if I'm just, like, all moody because I'm pregnant.
What happened with your first pregnancy?
What do you mean?
Did you get depressed after that or during that?
No, I was fine.
Yeah,
but it doesn't always happen. It doesn't happen every time.
No, I'm just curious if, you know, I mean, it'd be an easy fix if you were crying 2 months in to your first one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But no, actually, I hid my first pregnancy for a long time.
Nice.
Were you 15 first time around?
Yeah.
Are there things you're dealing with now that are stressful to you or depressing?
Well, I have my own place now.
Yeah.
That makes you cry a lot.
I'm on my own now, so I guess maybe.
Where's Dad?
He's around.
Well, you're. I mean,
we're together, I guess.
What are you experiencing? What are the symptoms?
I can't get out of bed sometimes, but I don't know if it's just because I'm tired from being pregnant or if I'm just like
depressed.
And what else?
Yeah, just depressed. I cry all the time, like for little things, and then I was thinking, well, that's kind of, you know. What they say about being pregnant, you're always crying.
Sure.
And I get, like, real stressed with my daughter.
Irritable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Sleep messed up? Eating messed up?
Well, yeah, I wake up, like, at 5 o'clock every morning.
All right. Well, that's depression.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Not being able to sleep?
Early awakening.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, not me. I'd go through it all noon when I was depressed.
that's another kind of depression. But early awakening is a classic depression.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Irritability.
I'm old school, though.
Irritability, early awakening, and you know, easy tears, lack of meaning, lack of enjoyment. Things
so
like
it couldn't be just because I'm pregnant. It is.
Well, you're certainly in a profoundly biologically altered state, and that might be changing your brain chemistry to the point that you develop a depression, but you're depressed. And somebody ought to be sort of, whoever's taking care of your pregnancy, do you have an obstetrician?
Yeah, I do. All
right. To be discussing it with him or her and let them sort of help you through this.
Is this guy the dad of both or just the second one?
Oh, yeah, it's
one?
The same dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Good times.
Another little silly question. And your diet, has it changed since the first thing? Because diet does have an effect on your moods.
Oh, from my first pregnancy or before I got pregnant?
Both.
Before I got pregnant, I wasn't eating really because I had my tongue pierced. So now I don't eat as much.
Yeah. Good plan, Mama.
That's a weight loss program.
Yeah.
No, I just...
There you go.
did it on the spur of the moment, so.
Yeah, but you need extra calories when you're pregnant, right?
Oh, yeah. No, before I got pregnant.
I see. So you're eating better now. You're eating better now.
Yeah, now I'm eating better.
All right. But what's better, lots of fat or just sugars and stuff? Because my blood sugar goes way up, and then when it goes down, forget it. I get pass out or I get moody, and it's...
Actually, yeah, I need, a lot of sugar. Like, I crave a lot of sugar, yeah.
Crave. Mm. The craving of sugar is I think, a mineral deficiency. I'm not sure.
Well, she's in a chronically deficient state because she's trying to build another body. I mean, they get incredibly depleted during pregnancy. But maybe you ought to, it is a reasonable idea to meet with a nutritionist and make sure your diet is adequate. Are you taking proper iron supplements?
No, I'm not taking iron supplements.
There's a ton of stuff.
My prenatal pills are low iron, so.
Yeah. Did he ask you to take iron, or?
No, I'm not anemic, so
okay.
I guess they didn't.
All right. All right, but just make sure that you're getting adequate nutrients.
Yeah, you're getting the full spectrum, because a lot of people, especially at your age, they have no clue about, you know, the variety of things you should be eating, like, you know, live foods, fresh foods, and from all colors, like the oranges, your greens, get your, you know, yellows and reds, get your beets in there, but just try to eat as varied a diet as possible.
I like the white foods myself. The Wonder Breads,
no,
the
that
rices.
Stuff,
well, they told me not to eat white bread.
Yeah. Oh,
thank
right.
you.
I like
thank
a bread you can make into a nice dough ball in your hand and then shape it in the shape of a fist and then just ram that up your ass.
That's Chia loaf.
That's the way. Hey, Jessica. Hey, no more kids, huh, sister?
Oh, yeah, no more. I'm going to college, so.
All right, baby.
And take care of two kids? Wow.
That's good. Hey, listen, you know, God bless you and, you know, keep your wits about you.
All righty, thanks.
All right. Remember your mama.
No.
Easy with them tongue piercings.
Yeah.
You got nipples pierced, too?
Just think of your kid asking you to do it at about 8 or 9.
Oh, yeah. She wants tattoos already because she sees mine. So she's like, can I have a tattoo?
She's
and I say,
three?
No.
Well, listen, don't let her get any pants until she's 6, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Easy on the ink.
Oh.
Yep. All right, Mama. You know, it's weird. It's so weird when you get older and you look back at people who are old to their kids, but we look at them as effed up teenagers, yes. Essentially.
Right.
I'm sure that's been going on throughout history. We just have a little different perspective doing this show and being the age we are.
Mm.
But, oh, man. Yeah, it's going to be hard to tell your kids, by the way, not to get the tats, not to get the piercings when mom and dad are sporting them.
Right. And I want to know when teen pregnancy was not an issue. you know,
I don't
we
think
keep talking about it. We want to eradicate teen pregnancy.
Well, when people died at 30, it wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
As soon as everyone started making it till 75 or 80, I guess it became an issue. Jen?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Hi.
What's up?
I was just wondering what the long-term effects of drinking alcohol with painkillers is.
Which painkiller?
Vicodin, Valium, Percocet.
How much
is Valium considered a painkiller?
No, it's not. How much Vicodin and a Percocet are you taking?
Maybe like one with every 4 drinks.
How much Vicodin and a Percocet are you taking per day?
I'll take it like maybe once or twice a week.
The Vicodin and the Percocet?
Yeah.
So primarily it's alcohol you're using?
Yeah.
And the Valium, how much Valium are you using?
Not that much.
How much Valium?
I don't really use it anymore, but I was using it a couple months ago.
How much?
Like and you have 1 or 2 with every
5 milligrams, 10 milligrams.
A what? 1 or 2 or what?
The little blue ones.
How often?
I had a spurt with those for about.
All right.
Hang on a second, Jen. You're not answering the questions. How many per day of those pills were you taking?
About one.
One a day. Okay. So alcohol is the primary drug, and really this is more about alcoholism than anything else. At the level of Percocet and Vicodin you're taking, there's a fair amount of Tylenol in those, and if you really have significant alcoholic liver disease, you can actually precipitate liver failure. But at your age, at the level you're drinking, for the duration you've been drinking, be very, very unlikely you've had that degree of liver damage.
Jen, you're calling in about essentially being hooked on painkillers, yet you're taking a couple a week? I mean, a lot of people take 40, 50 Vicodin
a day. Yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering, because when I do take them, I drink with them.
Yeah, what she's read is that people that are alcoholics can die of liver failure from 3 Tylenol. There are cases like that out there.
Yeah.
But those are people who usually have been drinking for years and years and have advanced alcoholic liver disease. But women are 5 times more likely to get cirrhosis than men. You may have some.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice to know.
You may have some liver disease, and it could be meaningful but not life-threatening. The issue here is you have addiction, and that needs to be treated. That's what's threatening to your life
right now. You're saying women are 5 times more likely to get cirrhosis of the liver than men?
At the same level of alcohol consumption, they are 5 times more likely to get the cirrhosis. Yeah,
they're smaller.
They lack an enzyme in the stomach that converts alcohol to
I see, but they just don't drink as much as men. I mean, you don't hear about, you know, like for instance, every other month you'll hear about some male celebrity who's been floating around for a while, was in a band in the 60s getting the liver transplant.
That's hepatitis C.
That's not from boozing.
The hepatitis
C. But a lot of these guys were pretty strong drinkers, too.
Hepatitis C plus booze makes cirrhosis, period.
Ooh.
That's gives you cirrhosis.
That's a formula.
Yeah, it's a formula for cirrhosis. And that's a lot of guys do that stuff.
But how many women are receiving liver transplants as opposed to men? I just don't hear about it.
But it's because you're not typically transplanting alcoholics. It's the hepatitis C patients getting the transplant.
But you still answer him, ask my question. Just
not so many.
Not as many women getting hepatitis as men?
And not as many getting hepatitis C.
Why not?
That's historically, I don't know if I can answer that accurately, but that's a heroin disease. I mean, that's IV drug-using disease.
Which one?
Hepatitis C. And I will tell you, in my world, predominantly liver disease, women. When I treat, the population I treat.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you just don't hear about the transplant as much.
Because they aren't transplanting the alcoholics.
Can you do a man liver to a woman?
Probably.
Yeah.
Liver bigger?
No,
I'm more thinking in terms of the genetic markers. I don't know.
Yeah, let's check into that. Would you, Drew?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right.
I'll get right on it. Get to the answer. By the way, did Jen call you?
Oh, Jen, last night?
Yeah.
Who was going to give me some data on women who are on the birth control pill being much more likely candidates to get HIV. Oh. And I said that's because if that is in fact the data, it's because women on birth control are sexually active and oftentimes not using condoms. They're on the birth control pill.
Let's change the subject because I have a lot of issues with the test not being accurate.
I'll gladly change it. I just yelled at her and told her, give me the data on that. And she didn't have any data. And so I told her she was a liar.
There's a lot of nonsense with the science or supposed science behind HIV and AIDS, and that could be a whole 2 hours.
Well, this wasn't that. This was a separate issue, that aside. But you know, she never did call on that.
Chelsea, 26.
Hi, I'm Adam and Dr. Drew.
Chelsea.
And I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your name.
Esai.
Esai, hi.
There you go. How are you?
I'm good. First of all, I want to tell Adam that I know people say this to you all the time, but you are literally the funniest guy.
Yes.
Literally.
No, I'm serious.
Really?
It says funniest guy in his hat. That's so funny you should say that.
Yeah.
He's really, like there's other people that sometimes come on the show, like, that have taken your place, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just not the same. So I just want to tell you, you're really, really funny.
Thank you. But we intentionally get bad guys to fill in for me.
Well,
so
you insist
upon
it. Come on now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, even in society. Like wherever, you're really, really funny.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, even in nature, as you roam the streets.
Funnier than a raccoon or a homeless guy is what you're saying.
Even in Eugene, Oregon.
I'm really trying to give you a compliment here.
I do appreciate it. And don't worry. I have labeled myself a genius long ago.
Okay. Well, actually what I called for is because I hear a lot of people calling in, like just 2 times in the last couple nights and previously, people talking about the sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to say, like, I experienced that. I started experiencing that, like, about 10 years ago when I was taking a lot of naps because I was depressed. And so I was sleeping a lot during the day. And I would have these episodes all the time. Like, nearly every single day I would wake up from a nap and just literally be paralyzed. And it was really terrifying for me. And this happened for several years. And finally I was listening to something like Art Bell or something like that, talking about some wacky stuff. And he was talking about lucid dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And how this sleep paralysis is actually like one door to get into lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming, by the way, is when you are lucid in your dream, as the name would denote or whatever. So I instead of being like really scared when this happened to me, I would just like lay there and like kind of accept it, and it was really, really cool because instead of being terrified, it's like I could I went into a dream right then, and I could totally, like, control my dream. Mm-hmm. And so now when I'm in that state, instead of being frightened, it's actually, like...
liberating.
Like, yeah, it's really wonderful. And you can do anything. Like, they talk about flying in your, mm-hmm. in your dreams.
Yeah,
and stuff, that's, like, the first thing, but...
you can control them. I mean, except for the problem is, I've tried this before, you know you're controlling it, and that screws it up sometimes, too.
No.
Like the time I tried to rape Adrian Barbeau in my dream when I was in high school.
Well, I mean, it takes a little practice.
I did. What?
It takes a little practice. There's this really great book called Exploring the World of Lucid Dreaming by a man named Stephen LaBerge. And, like, I mean, it is something that you need to practice a little bit, but once you start doing it, then, like, I guess I'm just trying to tell people not to be scared of this sleep paralysis thing. Like,
that's
don't feel
point.
Terrified. Just
hey, I was saying I would dig it. Be like,
yeah,
oh,
I know.
High.
I heard you say that, and that's pretty right on.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks.
No, like, you know what's interesting? I think most humans have a need and a want to lose control. I mean, we like substance for that reason.
We have a desire to alter.
Yeah, and we like sex for that reason, too, because for the 10 minutes you're doing it, or the two and a half minutes
you're doing it.
Right.
You're altered.
What we love as human beings is getting out of it.
See, that's why we want to control so much. We want control so that we can lose it.
But we want mushrooms, we want heroin, we want booze, we want a movie. People love to sit for 2 hours in a place and
journey.
Be somewhere else, somewhere. And sleep is great that way, and sex is great that way. And if you can kind of control it, if you can do it on your own terms, it can be a very provocative experience.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, as you know, Drew, I did some experimenting with this. I said, I'm going to control my dreams. I'm going to
get that.
I wanted to grab Adrian Barbeau's boobs.
Yeah.
So I said, I will work her into a dream, and I will know I'm in a dream. Instead of acting like I would act in normal society, I'll act like I would in a dream, and I'll get my kicks. So it was. I was at a mall. I was at the Fashion Square Mall in Studio City, Sherman Oaks area. And here came Adrian Barbeau. And I knew I was in a dream.
And
I
said, you had a dry dream.
I'm going to grab some of them boobs. And I went over there and grabbed her sweater. And she started screaming so loud. I can't even figure my own goddamn dreams out. She started, like, flailing and screaming. And I was thinking to myself, listen, quiet down now. It's my dream. And I know what I'm doing. And she made such a ruckus that
I went away. She's scared of you, Adam.
She knows what's good for her, she is. Yeah, so I screwed that one up pretty good. But the problem is when you know you're in a dream, then you're not really in a dream. Rebecca?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes, I'm 19.
What's up?
Hi, I had a separate kind of problem. So how are you guys tonight?
Good.
Do you really care?
What's your problem?
Okay, first of all, me and my boyfriend have been together for about 3 years now. And we were each other's first, right? Like, we started, like, in high school and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're out of high school, and he lives with me, and we probably have sex probably about 3 times a week. I just had a problem because, like, okay, we use condoms. We use condoms, and he pulls out. We're really, really, really cautious.
What's the question?
Okay, the question is, sometimes, like, when I'm reaching my peak, I don't know, it's kind of embarrassing, but I guess when I reach my peak, sometimes I'll pee on him, and it's very embarrassing.
You sure it's urine? Is it maybe a female ejaculation?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's probably.
But I'm pretty sure it's urine.
Happened to me once.
Well, there's two things. It's actually very common.
So smack that dude right in the face.
I said, dude.
One is female orgasmic incontinence, where you do pee, and the other is where you actually have an ejaculation, and both produce a tremendous amount of fluid.
It's hard to tell
the difference.
Does it squirt out or does it dribble out?
Well, like the first, like it happened about 4 times, and the first time it'll just like kind of just a little bit dribble out, but the last time it kind of came out a lot, and I had to like jump off of him and run to the restroom.
and finish urinating.
Oh, okay.
Did you finish urinating after you...
Yeah, I did.
All right, you might want to check to see if you have a urine infection. That's one of the things that can trigger it like this.
I was thinking maybe it was probably the condoms I was using.
No.
Because, like, I noticed it would start happening when I used the spermicidal condoms.
Well, it could be irritated. Yeah, the spermicide, sure, it could be irritated. But more importantly, you want to make sure there's not a urine infection going on.
I'm not a doctor, but I hate the concept of spermicidal lubricants in there.
Oh, okay, well...
The Noxanol 9 is... They got rid of that in the sponge because it was giving women toxic shocks. But it's okay to put it on your boyfriend's willy, you know.
Well, yeah. Well, noxulline,
it's not all that effective, is it?
I mean, you occlude any body space, you get toxic shock. I mean, I've treated toxic shock from people getting nasal packages without an noxulline.
What's a nasal package?
You know, after nose surgeries, they pack you
So why did they take it away from the sponge? They got rid of it in the sponge.
Oh. What do they put in now? They have some other...
I don't know. I just...
So what should Rebecca do, by the way? Nothing?
Rebecca, listen. Did you hear me say about possible urine infection?
Yes, I did.
You've got to get that checked out.
Yeah, I think I will. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Otherwise, hats off to your boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's working. He's getting something out of you.
Thanks.
Yeah. You know, I had a discussion with a couple of my buddies about something coming out of women last weekend.
Yeah.
And it's basically the consensus that we've talked about on the show, which is
wine.
It's a great novelty. Yeah, it's something. Hey, if it was wine, if it was like
you say you tire of it. You get this. Yeah.
I think where most guys stand on that is it'd be cool at the beginning because they're actually eliciting a physical response.
Yeah,
which is like kind of cool.
A loss of control.
Yeah, you know they ain't faking it. But by year number three, the novelty is worn off.
Well, that depends.
Yeah. If you're a very passionate
man,
pardon the pun. Depends the diaper. Yeah, if you're a super, super passionate man like Drew, you can never get enough female ejaculate.
No, never.
Drew wishes he could wring vaginas and make himself a big cold pitcher of that stuff he could down every morning before he left the house. But if you're a simple man like myself who's confused about his sexuality, the first few times would probably be enough. I'd be over it after that. After year number three, I'd be like, honey, I get it. You're having an orgasm.
I would think that after a few months of that, you'd have sort of a system worked out where you'd just be...
You got the hell out of Dodge?
You'd have a system. You'd have gutters or whatever the hell you'd do. You'd have it figured out. And so you wouldn't be so troubling.
Something I haven't talked about in a while, and I still think it would work, is the mattress hole, the orifice in the mattress. I think I think mattresses should come with a nice padded hole in them. Not too big, just about the size of a coffee can around that you could sleep with your erection in.
A mayonnaise jar, maybe?
I was thinking of more of a gutter system that just fed to the outside of the house. If someone got sick and needed to heave, they go in there. If you had to urinate, like, let's suppose you're really loaded and you fell asleep on your belly. You just relieve yourself right in it. Just drop it in the hole. If you get an erection, it doesn't flip you over. Yeah. Yeah. Something.
Okay.
I could have used one hundreds of times in my day.
Make a diagram. We'll work on this, and we'll call it.
Remember where you heard it first. That's all I'm saying.
One quick thing about the female thing. It depends sometimes if it's stronger. There was a time where I didn't know what it was, and it didn't smell like urine.
Well, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's female.
Who's doing that? I'm a little incontinent. But it's just, you don't know if someone's gushing.
Oh, it could just be gushing. It can be female ejaculate.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, some women
he's impressed with himself.
I did
that? Wow.
No, it's the ultimate compliment, I think.
Yeah, without them even peeing.
Right.
Wow.
All right, yeah. That transsexual was the best he's had.
You know.
All right, let's take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Heather. Breast size is 38, triple E.
Triple E.
Bouncy.
Wants to know about that after this.
Hello, this is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hi, I'm Jerry Springer, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Jared Pavlovian.
Hey, it's Loveline. There you go. Drew talking.
Yes, why he said how we know we put our headphones on. How do we know that?
Oh, I don't know.
That's just Pavlovian. We just
it's like glicking, you know?
Figure it's been about 4 minutes. Isai Morales is our guest tonight. He is from NYPD Blue, Tuesday nights, ABC, 10 o'clock. And we were... having an interesting discussion, at least interesting to us, off the air, the phenomenon known as glicking.
The ancient phenomenon.
Yes, and this is something, and Anderson just called it gleeking, and we called it glicking. It's always funny when people get freaked out about they getting big arguments over nonsense, but we called it glicking, and that's when a guy raises his tongue up and squirts something out of the glands and beneath the tongue. And it's a clear saliva-type substance that used to hit me in the back of the neck when I was sitting in class. And it's something I didn't experience in high school, but I experienced it in junior high.
It's a junior high phenomenon.
Esai did that, so did Drew, and apparently Engineer Anderson was hip to that. It's more of a dude thing. I don't think chicks do it. But the question is are they still doing it? Does anyone listening to this show experience this glicking or gleeking phenomenon?
Or was that just a brief twist of history?
Did you have it in junior high? We're all talking about junior high here, not high school.
Even if people are 60 or 70 years old, we'd like to know if it was around in the good old days.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out if it feels like something that just happened to us in the years that we went to junior high. But did it happen to kids today or people before us?
Yeah.
If you got a thought on that, call us up. Heather?
Yes.
22?
Yes.
38, triple E?
Certainly.
Good times.
Did triple E. Did we decide there was...
What's the problem?
Well, I was just... Well, you know, I'm having a lot of back problems here lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, is there any risk involved in a breast reduction?
Well, of course. It's a surgery. So there's risk of anesthesia, risk of bleeding, risk of infection. It's not risk-free. Risk of scarring.
How big's the rest of you?
I'm kind of average. I'm not big. I'm 140 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not evenly distributed with these big boobs.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Clem, who called from Maryland earlier? No. I see.
No, I missed it.
Okay. Yeah, so you're now triple E, really?
Yeah.
Didn't we go through a whole procedure trying to figure out the different sizes?
Yeah.
And the tripling up ended after D, didn't we? Didn't
I don't totally recall it. Does your bra really say triple E on it? Or maybe it was made...
That's a shoe size. That's
maybe
nice.
It was made in Tripoli, which is in North Africa.
You have to get it made. What's the size?
I'll order them.
What's the size in general?
I just know it's triple E. That's what they...
Yeah, I see.
It's what triple E again? I forgot the number.
38.
And
you get them, you send away for them?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, well, that's a lot of breast.
Yeah.
And but you are a little bit overweight?
Yeah, a little bit.
Right. But still, if you lost that 10 or 15 pounds, you go down to double E, big deal.
Well, yeah? I don't know.
Well, it couldn't hurt.
Have you been lean before without as much breast or what?
Well, I was smaller. Here in the last, I'm going to say last 2-3 years, I've gotten bigger, but my breasts have gotten a lot bigger here.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that
just the latter part though. I mean, it's not while I was, you know, when I was younger, they were like, you know, they were normal. And I mean, you know, I hit around 19, 20 and they started getting bigger.
Okay. So how about this for a deal? Why don't you slim down a little bit, do your diet, do your exercise, give it 8 months or a year, and then you get your breast reduction if you need it at that point.
So lose some weight and see what...
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't hurt either way,
if
right?
You know that you were smaller at a lower weight. It might be an easier way to manage that.
Well, also, who would want to get a breast reduction? I mean, I know this happens a lot, and I know they do it a lot. I know. No, I'm cool with that. Yeah, Punky Brewster got it. But what I mean is if you're a woman who is X amount of pounds overweight and you get a breast reduction, well, some of what they're taking out is stuff that would be gone if you lost that weight.
Right.
Correct?
That's right.
And then you still got the big ass, and now the boobs are gone. I mean, that's what Drew told me medically. I'm no doctor. The point is like anything... and I'm trying to think of an example, and I can't. Let's get down to so there's nothing extra on you, and then anything they take off is what they should take off, not the extra. Because women complain that the boobs go up and down with weight constantly, and a lot of them say that's the first thing that goes when they lose the weight. Mm-hmm. I think it's their brain, but a lot of them say it's the boobs, unfortunately. Kimberly?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes, long-time listener, second-time caller.
Great.
And I like you a lot, even though last time I called you said you didn't like me. Whatever.
I was probably just being serious.
Yeah, probably being serious.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to make a point that when you argue abortion, when somebody says it's ethically, morally wrong, actually, there are schools of philosophy... philosophical thought that that nothing actually is morally or ethically wrong. It's only intrinsically, it's only what we say it is.
Well, but that's moral relativism, where right and wrong doesn't exist. That it's all utilitarian principles.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. We need a point to sort of jump off on. I mean, if you want to start getting into that, well, how is murder wrong? It's only wrong by your definition, your moral definition, or that kind of stuff.
Then contract. We have to have it so it doesn't undermine one individual's right and it's good for society.
Yeah, but the point is if you think this way, eventually you just spin off into space. There's no arguing anymore because eventually the person you're talking to isn't there.
This is John Stuart Mill's, right? That's what you're talking about?
Pardon?
John Stuart Mill's the primary philosopher that espoused this.
Okay.
And this is you know, it's a way some people believe, but I think most people believe that there are such things as right and wrong, and that with carefully applied thought we can have access to those things. And
I didn't think there was any I was taking an ethics class. I actually just started it. And I actually didn't think there was a good response to Plato in the Republic saying, why should we lead a just life?
Well, okay. Well, the reason you should lead a just life, and I don't want to spin too far off into this either, is
wasn't my main point.
You don't want anyone to kill you.
Yeah.
And you want those same rules to apply to society.
Well,
to you.
There's another guy named Lawrence Kohlberg that talks about moral development in the human being. He studied it as an abstract developmental process that goes along with cognitive and emotional development. And then most people stop right at the level that Adam's talking about, which is basically a golden...
Oh, yeah.
Hang on.
Okay.
Which is basically the golden rule, which is do unto others.
Then split.
But there are documentations of people who have access to higher moral principles, something they're called apodictic truths, truths that must be so and cannot be otherwise, and then live their lives by those truths regardless of the circumstances of the society in which they live. And theoretically, that's a higher ethical, moral ground to aspire to. So I think most of us would say that there is some principled life that we could all try to aspire to that's above and beyond the social contract and the golden rule.
The world is your oyster.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
Because that's all the world is. I know I was drunk when I said that. What's up?
I also wanted to say that when somebody is religious and they argue against abortion, you should say, well, it is a sin, but the other sins, they aren't illegal, like, you know, coveting thy neighbor's stuff and cheating on your wife. They aren't illegal.
Oh, they put the stuff in the Bible?
Yeah. Like that.
Right.
They aren't illegal. And
the neighbor's ass, I believe, is how it's put.
They aren't
the
illegal, yeah.
Coveting the neighbor's ass.
That doesn't undermine our social contract. You have to prove it undermines our social contract
say Republican?
That it should be illegal.
No, she's manic.
Yeah. Kimberly, where are you coming down on this side? You want the kids to be vacuumed out or not?
Well, actually, no, I want them to argue it in a... Well, actually, I personally don't care.
Okay.
All right, there
Thank
we go.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Have another B-load and watch some Ally McBeal and just call it a life, would you?
No.
I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than a person with their first philosophy class or ethics class. I had a friend, Carl, who went to... He went to CSUN over here in Northridge. And this guy was a great guy, and he was a regular guy, and everything was fine, just sort of North Hollywood guy. Used to love to hang out with him. And then he took his first philosophy class. And it was like an ethics class. Right. He would start arguing stuff with me, and I'd say, and I'd start arguing back. And then he would eventually come around and take my point, and then I would start arguing his point. And at a certain point, I'd go, what the hell are we doing? And he would just keep going in circles and circles and circles.
That's what they refer to as a circle jerk.
Right. And eventually, I'd just go nuts on him. I'd go, look, let's get some beer. Let's go to the park.
Let's get in the boxing ring.
Let's relax.
Let's do a real circle jerk.
Yeah, it's very little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Max?
But at least he tries.
Yeah. First of all, I just want to say, Adam, you kick ass.
Yeah, thank you.
And you're very funny. I watch the show every week because it's on. I listen to you guys Love Line every night.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm 14. I'm a freshman in high school right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was junior high last year. Gleeking happens every day.
Oh, really?
All day long.
Just as popular as it was back back when, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the societal origins of gleeking is? Thank you. That was a good answer.
Wait, Max, were you being gleeked upon?
Yes.
Yeah.
I cannot figure out how to do it myself.
I couldn't do it either. Only the a-holes could figure out how to do that, and they would do it on the back of my neck when they sat behind me in class.
I do it on my face, too.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not a great thing.
Again, people understand this is squirting saliva out of the gland under your tongue.
Right.
Into the air and onto your opponent.
And it's a fine mist that you can't often feel for a while if it's going on your jacket or on your hair until it kind of gets through to you.
It's a little bit of the squirt gun effect.
Mm. Well, no, because like a light, it's a mister. Yeah. It has a mist effect. Yeah. But the thing about it is you'll know it when you see the guy's jaw moving in a weird way and his mouth open as if he's yawning and his tongue rolled up. All right, Max.
I'm so getting excited.
It's
guys,
still going on, right?
Thanks, Max.
Thanks.
Bye.
Right. I've got.
I'm glad it's still around. David?
Yeah.
You got a question?
Yeah. Hey, no, I just wanted to make a comment. Dr. Drew, Adam, you guys are like the smartest guys ever. You guys are so fun. Both you guys are hilarious.
Wow.
I see you guys all the time.
Well,
you guys
thanks.
Are great.
Thanks.
And Isai Morales, how you doing, man?
What's up, David?
Not much. Hey, you were great in Mi Familia, but I'm just called to tell you that the movie that just stood out for me since I was like 5 years old is La Bamba.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Like, the relationships you and Lou Diamond Phillips had in that movie, it just totally, like, made me and my brother's relationship, like, great. I mean, even though it was kind of, you know, weird.
Sure.
Like, you know, he was an alky and stuff and whatever, but I'm saying, like, the positive aspects. I mean, we'd memorize lines from the movies.
Well,
I mean,
remember the good.
Listen,
man, it was great.
It's an honor for me, you know, who does this kind of stuff, you know, acting, and a lot of times acting is not very fulfilling, but... It's very fulfilling to know that you can actually, you know, the stuff you do that you actually get paid for, that you love doing anyway, has a positive impact on people.
Oh, it did.
I saw the older Richie Valens brother accepting
Mario
when he was being inducted into the Hall of Fame just recently. I mean, Richie Valens was. A couple of things. First off, Mario's a serious biker dude.
Oh, yeah.
Still in his 50s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Richie Valens, you hear his records, you see the pictures of him and stuff. The guy was 16.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
16 and 17 when he
wow.
died. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you think about Richie Valens. The guy looked like he was 28.
Yeah,
he looked like a man.
30, yeah.
He looked like a man, and you'd just assume, well, the guy had some hits, seemed like he'd been around a little while. He's like, I don't know, was he 24, 25? The dude was 17.
When he died.
I mean,
just because of that age gap, because me and my brother are 7 years apart, and you know how you just beat up on the little brother type relationship? It's like, mm-hmm. I was Richie, and my brother was Bob.
Right.
You know, it was so great.
You're Richie without the talent.
Well, yeah, of course.
Oh, you're so mad.
So can't compare to Richie Valens now.
Nah, listen, man, it's a great thing that you guys were able to grow, you know, closer and respect
oh, yeah.
for, you know, our suffering in the movie, you know, turned into your, you know, benefit.
Yeah, all good. No, nothing bad or nothing.
Hey, man, so. Good looking out in the Bay Area, huh?
What's up?
You're from the Bay Area?
Yeah, San Francisco, California, man, yep.
All righty, man. I got a lot of friends up there. Want to shout out to
you. Yeah, I just wanted to call and tell you that, man. You're the greatest, man.
Hey, right back at you. Thank you, David.
Take care, David. Thanks for the call.
Take care. All right, see ya.
All righty. Yeah, that, man, I just think, you know, I mean, when La Bamba came out and let's see, what am I thinking of? Donna and all, he was 16 when that and stuff came out, right?
Yeah. He was 16 when he wrote it.
Jesus. You ever see pictures of him?
30.
Yeah, easily.
He looked like a little bull, you know?
Yeah.
Like a buff guy.
Yeah. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be back with more questions after this. Hey. Yeah, it's my new riff. Yeah. True. Onto the air drums, if you please. Isai Morales is our guest tonight.
Yo!
NYPD Blue, Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock.
Tomorrow
ABC,
night.
Big night tomorrow night.
Take a peek. If you like it, let me know.
I think they have.
If you don't, the
they
hell
will.
With you.
Aaron?
Yeah.
You're 34. What's up?
My girlfriend's going to have her uterus removed because of fibroids, and I don't know what fibroids are and what effect.
Fibroids are just muscular growths or abnormal growth of the muscle inside the wall of the uterus.
Yeah, because she had one rupture last year.
No, she probably, well, you can. You can sort of bleed into them and things, but you sure she didn't have an ovarian cyst rupture last year?
Well, that's what they said it was. And then now they said her uterus was the size of a melon.
Has she had a bunch of kids?
No,
that happens
no.
when you don't have kids.
No, she had no kids.
No yeah. kids.
That's yeah. what my cousin.
And I was just wondering, I assume she's going to be sterile after she has it removed.
Well, again, if she won't be able to bear children herself, but if they leave her ovaries and she's not menopausal, it's possible they could retrieve the ovaries. Yeah, yeah.
Extract
retrieve
the eggs.
But
what will be the effects? I mean, will her hormones change?
No,
or
nothing.
Nothing will change?
Mm-mm.
Hey, has anyone done a parts count on women versus men? Seems like women got more parts, you know? I mean, just in that area alone, there's like, you know, 472 parts, whereas men have
excuse me, they got to carry on, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, do women got more parts than men? Anyone do a parts count?
Yeah, well, the testes is a pretty complex little instrument.
There's three parts
they
don't
have. Yeah,
I count
that as one.
Two of the testes and one...
Unless
you consider that a very long...
I want to get the pictures.
I'll give you the sack. No, I just want a parts count.
Well, I think, you know, instead
I don't know how you have to define a part.
Instead of a series of glands like Skene's and Bartholin's, we got one, prostate.
There you go.
Okay, so we condense ours down to one.
Right.
All right. They get ovaries, they get
testes. Is this why women pack? They got to take three suitcases for a weekend? Is this why they need so much stuff? And we need that little Pan Am bag and we're good?
For their parts.
I just mean is maybe they have a sort of
parts and
predisposition for
I
parts.
Parts and servicing.
Yeah. They're very complicated. I've said it. Women are they're really like a Steinway piano, and we're just like a kettle drum.
We were kind of talking about this at the beginning of the show about the difference between men and women, and how men are sort of in awe of women because of mom and because of them not being women. I mean, the women understand each other because they share their genetic heritage.
I'm saying I want a parts count.
But there's some people theorize that men, that part of women that you're talking about sort of freaks men out.
The parts part?
The parts part. Like it's in some mysterious swamp.
Well, I remember when I was a little kid, I always thought of girls as being complicated down there.
Yeah.
And the concept of their complications made them icky when I was a little boy. I was like, there's stuff going on there that I don't know about. You know?
Yeah, and people theorize that it's sort of it's nature and it's mysterious and it's sort of swamp-like and it's going to swallow us up.
Well, it is true. You remember you talk to, now you're so freaked out about that stuff as a guy.
What's
that? You talk, just that downstairs stuff. You'll talk to one of your friends and you'll go, hey, how you doing? How's your mom doing? And she'll go, she's got to have a little minor surgery, and you'll go, that's fine, that's fine.
Swamp
that's
effects.
Enough. I've heard enough, you know, because it's always something going on down there.
Yeah, it's like, okay, thanks.
That's still like
lower your head. Yeah, okay.
That's still like a parts count. That's all I'm saying. Joe?
Trying to get the swamp up.
We don't have a swamp sound effect.
That's wrong.
What's a swamp sound like?
You know,
mosquitoes and crickets and stuff?
Frogs. There you go.
There you go.
No, because you're doing jungle. Joe?
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah. I'm calling recently, the past 8 months, I've been trying, I can't concentrate anymore. I'll be, like, talking to someone, I'll be reading, and I'll be thinking about something else, mm-hmm. and, like, it frustrates me so much. And I'll just get so angry at myself, and I'll just start hitting myself, and I'll do things like that I don't know that I do, and my friends will be like, well, you did this yesterday, and you did that. And
like what? Like what?
I told this girl goodbye one time, but I thought I said goodbye. Someone told me that I was telling her I loved her, and I was like, I didn't tell her I love her. And then it's really hard to explain. I don't really know how to explain it, but I can't concentrate when I read a book. About something else. I'll read it about 20 times, and then I'll finally understand it.
Are you doing drugs and alcohol?
Yeah.
What drugs are you doing?
Bong hits, it sounds like.
Mm. Yeah.
Hmm?
Well, I'm thinking speed.
What drugs?
Speed?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what speed does to you. It makes it so you can't concentrate. Pretty soon you're going to start getting paranoid.
I do get paranoid a lot.
Yeah, you're going to believe people close to you, friends, family, people at school are thinking about you, talking about you, passing notes about you, and pretty soon you're going to think they're starting to want to hurt you.
This phone call is tapped.
This is the biological effect of speed. Strangely, at cocaine, when people get paranoid from cocaine, it's much more intense, and it's always a preoccupation about uniformed officers.
Yeah, past 8 months, I did cocaine, like, heavily.
Well, there you go. So this is all drug. And what my speed addict patients talk about when they're using the speed, it's like going through life with a strobe light going on and off. And so you sort of have blank out, and these things that you do are very common when you're on speed.
All right, so, Joe, how about you stop doing the speed?
How about you get treated for it? Because you ain't going
to
stop.
How would I? Where would I go to? Like,
I would call. Do you have a doctor?
No.
Are there any local hospitals?
Yeah.
La Puente. Call Las Encinas. 626-356-2671.
How's he going to write that down with the strobe going on?
Las Encinas.
356.
Let me get a pen. 356?
2671.
2671.
All right.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, call him, would you?
Yeah, I will.
And listen, everybody with the speed. You don't hear me preach too much about the booze or the weed or the coke or the pills.
You don't like the speed. You're biased.
I don't
Adam,
preach
you're
too
prejudiced.
Much. Listen,
you're
I know,
prejudiced
I know speed ruins you. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. You can't do it recreationally. You can't just have a little fun on a weekend with it. You can't just do a little tootski when you come home or whatever. You just can't. Hey, if some guy tells me he wants to have some red wine or some weed when he comes home from work to unwind, that's fine. Speed, you get violent, you get strung out, and the world starts coming unraveled.
You end up on Cops, basically.
You do. Right. Yes. You're in your underpants. You're being tackled on your lawn. That's what happens. You end up being tackled by guys in uniform. Who have to wrestle you
high
down.
High speed chases.
Right. Sarah?
Yes.
You're 23. Hi. What's up?
Hi. I have to tell Esai that he is such a gorgeous man.
Oh, my God.
Adam was just saying that to him during the break.
Off the air.
Yeah.
Off the air.
He's so beautiful. And I've never watched NYPD Blue, but I'm going to have to start watching it now.
Tomorrow night.
And I have a question, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends tell me that when I have gas, I don't let it out. If I'm around people.
That's kind.
I can't bear it.
That's good.
But
we can't either.
I've heard that it can mess up your colon.
How?
By holding it in.
How? What does it do?
Pressure.
I don't know. People have just told me that, and I wanted to know if there was any truth to that at all.
True, but what about what about the sort of universal truth of holding back or holding in anything that your body wants to push out? Be it a splinter, or gas,
anytime
or a sneeze.
Anytime you get an urge to poo, you just let it out?
Absolutely.
No matter where you are, what you're doing? Same deal.
Only
he's talking
grinding.
A lot of poo now. So.
That's true. All right, touche. That's a good point.
It will come out in its own time. It will come out larger next.
Well, let
time
me
out.
Ask you this because this is a fear of mine that if I don't go into the writer's office over at the Man Show and blast one on those guys, that it'll go away and I'll never see it again. And each one of my farts, as a child to me, that's my children.
Yeah, I know your birth.
I don't have children myself, but these are my babies, and I don't want any of them
stink,
to get away.
Okay.
They're all important to me.
Yeah.
So, Drew, will it dissipate? Will I absorb it, or will the next one be bigger?
It could, but generally the next one will be bigger.
Oh, good.
Yes. That's
okay.
Sarah? Sometimes what happens is you hold on. You ever get cramps in your stomach?
Oh, yeah.
No, I've never gotten cramps, but I've always been able to hold it in pretty good, but I'm worried that because as I get older...
It'll be fine. As you get older, you won't be able to hold it in.
Right.
Much older.
You know what it is? You got to get out of the car and check that flat tire every once in a while, you know?
That's right.
You know, man, put some in the trunk.
Good time.
And when you save them up for a long time, I guess the ones you do take twice as long.
But what about when people start having anal sex? Isn't it harder to hold it in then?
We would imagine so. Yeah, it sounds a little tough.
Yeah, when some guy's basically using your ass as a butter churn, stuff's going to come out.
Take a quail.
All right, we'll take a break.
Bye.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
All right, well, there you go. Esai Morales, everyone. Thanks for a good night, Esai.
Thank you, guys. And thanks for giving such great advice, plugging our show, and being such a funny dude.
NYPD Blue, everybody. Tuesday nights, tomorrow night, 10
ABC.
O'clock,
fantastic.
ABC. Come back anytime.
Big shout out to Jonas.
We do appreciate you coming in. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.